Hey there, welcome to today's episode of Verity Vitamins. My name is Benjamin Pace, and we have recently started a new series on this segment of the podcast, and I have entitled this series Red Light, Green Light. And the reason is because we are talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, and we're talking about the witness of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." He goes on to say in verse 16, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." That's where we get this term from when we talk about the witness of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. What that means is His Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you notice in this passage, it says, "You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption." So what does this witness of the Holy Spirit do? What's its primary job? Its job, his job rather, I should say, is to remind you that you are a child of God. So the leadings of the Holy Spirit are not just directional, but they are reminding you of who you are. They're bringing you back to home base. Does that make sense? They're bringing you back to the reality of who you are. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that it's just seeking wisdom, seeking different wisdom from different religions and different people of the world. It's just looking for any direction. It's looking for any kind of wisdom. It doesn't have to be specific. It's just, let's just take it all in and just kind of roll it up into a popcorn ball and just kind of chew on it and just see what we get out of it. And it's so vague, and it doesn't really require any commitment. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about secular wisdom. We're not talking about earthly or sensual wisdom. The Bible calls that demonic. But we're talking about following the Holy Spirit, and we're talking about the Spirit that reminds you who your shepherd is and whose child you are. This is the Spirit of adoption, and this is the Spirit that we are led by. And one of the big things I want to emphasize to you about being led by the Spirit is that it is not bondage. I'll keep saying this as we go throughout this series. Being led by the Spirit is not bondage. Whenever you find yourself getting into bondage and getting into fear, you have stepped away from the leadings of the Holy Spirit. It's the truth. I mean, that's what it clearly said. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And we're going to talk about this more and more as we go along. But people can get off into compulsiveness when it comes to being led by the Spirit or trying to be led by the Spirit. And we're even going to talk some about the conscience and how the conscience plays a role in being led by the Spirit. But you can get off into compulsiveness, and you can identify when people stop being led by the Holy Spirit and start being led by compulsiveness and legalism when they start getting into bondage and they start getting into fear. Everything they do, they're afraid it's the wrong thing. Afraid if I do this, something's going to be bad, something's going to go wrong. Afraid to do this, afraid to do that. Can't do this, can't do that. Bondage. That's not what we're talking about. And so it's important for us to differentiate these things. But last time we talked about how the spirit of adoption is the spirit of our Father talking to us through the Holy Spirit. It's dad talking. And, you know, like a good dad, parents don't always tell you what your flesh wants to hear. You know, in fact, if they're a good parent, they will often tell you things that you don't necessarily want to hear. But at the same time, it's comforting because it reminds you who you are. You know, you may listen to a friend who thinks he knows a lot or thinks she knows a lot, and they try to get you to do something, and it may seem appealing to your flesh, but something on the inside's like, no, I don't think that's smart. I don't think we should be doing that. And when you get a call from mom or dad and they're like, what are you doing? Like, stop that. Come home. You know, it's not fun for the flesh necessarily, but it reminds you who you are. And that's what we're talking about. You know, God is not always going to tell you everything that your flesh wants to hear, but he reminds you who you are. But here's something I want to point out to you in today's episode. In Psalm 27, verse 4, David said this. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Something you see a lot throughout the life of David is that he always inquired of the Lord about everything. Before he did anything, he always inquired of the Lord, and that's one of the big reasons, if not the main reason, that he had success is because he inquired of the Lord. And now, there's more to it than that, because Saul tried to inquire of the Lord, and God wouldn't answer him because his heart was wrong. And so we could talk more about that, I suppose. But David had a heart after the Lord, and he inquired of the Lord. But he said, one thing will I seek. A lot of times we come to God and we ask God for direction, but our heart's not right. Let me explain to you more what I mean by that. In Proverbs 3, verse 6, it talked about trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not on your own understanding. And then it says this, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It's important for us to know that God desires to lead us in every area of our life, if we'll acknowledge him in it, if we'll honor him enough to ask him, to give him an open door. You know, there's something about God, Brother Kenneth Hagin said this, there's something about God, he won't just interrupt you. He won't force his leadings on you. You know, if you've got a good heart and you're endeavoring to go the right way, he won't let you just walk off a cliff without correcting you. But you have to acknowledge him for him to speak to you in different areas of your life. You have to actually say, Lord, lead me in this, direct me in this. And a big part of acknowledging God is submitting to him and his lordship. It's submitting to his agenda, not our own. It's submitting our plans and our agendas to his plan, his agenda, and what he considers most important. His priority list, his value system. This is a big part of acknowledging God in all of our ways. It's submitting that to him and saying, God, you know, I need some direction in this area, but Lord, I'm submitting this area of my life to you. And the reason why I bring that up is because when we acknowledge God, we don't want to just assume that we are always the ones that are supposed to select the topic of conversation. What do I mean by that? I'm not saying you don't bring your requests to the Lord. You don't present your petitions to the Lord. You don't say, God, I need direction in this area. I need help in this area. Absolutely. We acknowledge him in all of our ways. We invite him in. But then we need to ask him what's most important to him in that moment. We need to acknowledge him also by saying, Lord, this is my need. This is what I need direction on. But how important is this to you right now? What do you want to talk to me about right now? This is a part of honor. You know, we humbly bring our requests to him, and he is faithful to direct us and lead us. He will. But we shouldn't act like what we have on our minds is always the weightiest matter that we can discuss with God. A lot of times what we're the most pressured about in the flesh is what we assume is the most important thing right now. And that is something that we need to submit to him and ask him about. Look at this in Luke 10, verse 38. There's a perfect example of this. But it said, now it came to pass, as they went and entered in a certain village, a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So what is she prioritizing? She's prioritizing what Jesus is talking about. But notice this, Martha was cumbered about with much serving, so she's weighed down, she's burdened, and she came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Look at this. Tell her, therefore, that she should help me. Tell her to help me. Now, I want to point this out to you. Martha is stressed and pressed, and she's coming to Jesus, watch this, telling him what to say. Come on. She's saying, Lord, you need to tell my sister to do so and so. Why? Because she's under pressure. And she thinks that this is the most important thing right now, is that Jesus needs to direct her sister to help her. See, this is what we're talking about. Many Christians do this. They come to God and say, God, I need you to tell me this right now. I need you to do this right now. I need an answer, God. I need an answer. I need an answer. I need to be led on this. And then they pray in the Spirit for an hour. And it's good to pray in the Spirit. We should pray in the Spirit. But they're trying to wring it out of God. They're trying to wring the answer out of God. And what it's doing is it's almost acting like God's withholding it. And we'll look at a scripture here in a second that disproves that. But they're trying to put pressure on God to answer them about the thing that they feel is most important right now. Now, don't misunderstand me. God wants to lead you in every area of your life. He wants to direct you in every area of your life. But the problem with that kind of quote-unquote praying is that it's not faith, and it's also not honor. Telling God that he needs to do this, or he needs to tell you this, putting pressure on him. You know what else it's not? It's not asking. It's demanding. It's acting like God doesn't care enough to tell you. And so I've got to wring it out of him. I've got to extract it from him. Now, don't misunderstand me. The Bible talks about in Proverbs, a wise man will draw counsel out. And we do that by fellowship with God and by praying in the Holy Spirit and seeking the Lord. Absolutely. But it's a rest thing, not a pressed thing. That just came right out of my heart. It's a rest thing, not a pressed thing. And if you want to pray in faith, you've got to pray in rest. You've got to be sitting at Jesus' feet like Mary and hearing his words. That's how you get direction. That's how you get instruction. That's how you receive the Spirit that leads us and guides us and directs us. That's how you receive his witness. It's not by being pressed and stressed. It's by getting quiet and staying in rest. Jesus said to her, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He said, one thing is needful. You know, a lot of times we want God to stop and address what we feel is most important rather than finding out what he says is most needful right now. Now, again, God knows when we need wisdom. He knows when we need direction. But one thing is needful. So what do we have to do? We have to choose the good part. We have to choose what is most important. And there are some things that are not as big to God as they are to us, because he already knows how it's going to work out, and he simply wants us to trust him. And a lot of times he wants to talk to us about weightier matters. And if we acknowledge him and find out what he says, what he considers the most important, then while he's talking to us about what he wants to talk about, a lot of times he will either reveal to us what to do about the other thing, or he'll just take care of it. Either way, he will lead you and guide you and help you, but we need to ask him what he considers most important. I'm reminded of my father in the faith, Brother Keith Moore. He was praying and asking the Lord for more anointing when he was teaching in healing school. And he kept just begging God for more anointing. And God kept talking to him about faithfulness. And he thought, well, that's great, but what I really need is more anointing. But what he didn't realize in that moment is that faithfulness is what leads to a greater anointing. And so sometimes the thing God's talking to us about doesn't directly connect to what we feel like we need the most, but if we'll listen and get it right, it will lead to the thing. It will lead us to the thing that we feel we need. It will take care of the issue and the problem. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In other words, God is not withholding wisdom. God is not withholding direction. I don't have to wring it out of him. I need to rest in him. I need to sit at his feet and hear his words. He goes on to say, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So what's happening here? Why is it hard to receive from the Lord in that state? Martha is going in and out. She is listening to half of what Jesus is saying, kind of, and then going back in the kitchen and dealing with all the stress and all this stuff, and all, instead of sitting at his feet and hearing his words. It's hard to receive from the Lord what you need to receive when you're not at rest, when you're not at peace, when you don't just sit and receive what he's saying to you. When you're going back and forth all the time, double-minded about everything, you can't receive what you need that way. You can't receive wisdom that way. You've got to shut up, sit down, and listen to his words. Amen. But there's something else I want to mention to you here really quickly. In James 4, verse 3, it says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. What is that doing? That's letting the need determine what you ask. Again, I'm not talking about being impractical and not bringing your need before the Lord and inquiring of the Lord. We should do that every day with everything that arises. But because there's something demanding, whether it's a desire or whether it's a need, something banging on our door, us letting that press us to go and press God. And that is asking amiss. Instead of getting into rest and saying, God, you know what I have need of before I ask. You know I've got this thing coming up. You know I need direction on this. Lord, what do you want to talk to me about? I'm acknowledging you. A great example of this, and I'll close with this, is in John chapter 2. I won't read the whole thing. But Mary came to Jesus and said, they ran out of wine. And Jesus said, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? In other words, why should I get involved with this? Just because there's a need does not mean that's the most important thing to Jesus right now. Now, don't misunderstand me. Jesus cares about your needs. He wants to meet your needs, but there's some honor that needs to happen here. And what did Mary say? Whatever he says, do it. What is that? Submission to him, acknowledging him. It's deferring to Jesus. Not demanding. There it is. Deferring to God, not demanding from God. And he said, fill the water pots up with water to the brim. And they did it. And then he said, draw it out and bring it to the governor of the feast. Now, what does that have to do with their need for wine? In the natural, it didn't seem like it had anything to do with that. But what did she say? Whatever he says to you, do it. Honor, acknowledge him, defer to him. And what happened? They got a miracle. What they needed manifested because they followed his leading and they deferred to his lordship.